Jesus. Praise the Lord. In fact, my wife had found this Daniel fast food list. Some people have asked, well, what is a Daniel fast? If you'll notice in the Bible, when Daniel was taken captive and brought into Babylon, they had things that were considered unclean that he dedicated himself to not partake in those things that he believed were not right. You know, they sacrificed animals to heathen gods and then would eat the meat. And so he just didn't eat any meat. And he ate beans and vegetables and fruits. And so that was what he chose to eat because he was separating himself unto God. Okay? So when we refer to Daniel fast, that's what we're referring to, that you would eat those types of things that Daniel would have eaten in his consecration in a time of fasting. Amen. So if you need more little details on that, there's a paper right there. And 10 days, I'm asking each, if you're a member of our church, if you consider yourself an Apostolic Lighthouse member, I'm asking you to spend some time in January on top of your normal to pray and to fast and to seek God's face. Amen. Fasting is an important part. Now, I'm not saying you can only fast this way. Please don't misunderstand me. Some people will choose to fast, you know, the traditional way and not eat any food for a period of time. But we are asking, at least you do a Daniel fast, and I'm asking you to do it 10 days out of 30 days. Any 10 days you want. You could start on the first day and end on the 10th day, or you get the idea. Well, I know someone who did start on the first day. Amen. So I know I did not. I did not start on the first day. But I have started, so praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22 to 25 is where I'll begin tonight. I've got just an old-fashioned Bible study tonight. Praise the Lord. It's good stuff for us. You'll receive something tonight if you'll receive what it is that this word will give to us. Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This portion of Scripture listed some fruit of the Spirit. The last but certainly not least is temperance. My topic tonight is simply that, temperance. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask even right now, Lord, that you would show us what your word would say and, Lord, how it affects our lives. And, Lord, in this Bible study tonight, I pray your will in it. Quicken my mind and the words I say and open our ears, God. Touch our heart and, Lord, let your will be done in us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Temperance. Sounds like a simple word, but man, there is a lot to it. When I start looking up what it is and its characteristics and what it says in the Bible and how it applies to us, man, I got 9 pages of notes, but I got big print too, so I'm just scaring you. Let me go to the word. 2 Peter chapter 1, Picking up to read at verse number 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Anybody want to have a divine nature? Amen. I need God to help me in that area. Amen. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Some people might think, well, I believe, I'm okay. Well, believing is a really good start. We need to have faith, right? I think everybody in here has faith in God. But I think once I get into this list, there might be something somewhere that you could pick up and add to your faith. Amen. Here we go. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Man, believing is not enough. We got to learn how to add godly things, fruit of the Spirit, to our life. Amen. Verse number 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, if you just keep adding these things to your life will abound. God's going to give you the fruit of His Spirit. God is going to use you for His purpose. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Oh, man, I tell you what, that's one thing I want, is to never fall away from God. Amen. I know a whole bunch of preachers that fell away. And a whole bunch of saints that have fallen away. You probably know some people that have fallen away. But if you'll do these things, if you'll keep the fruit of the Spirit in your life, amen, it'll make you strong, fruitful, and you will not fall away. Amen. You see, the meaning of temperance is very, very simple. Somebody say self-control. Doesn't that sound so simple? But you know what? In the flesh, you're the only one that can do it. I cannot control you. None of us are puppets on a string. If you are going to serve God, it's because you choose to. Nobody is going to make you, nobody can make you live for God. It's got to be a choice that you decide to have self-control. Temperance. We need this in our lives. We need temperance, self-control. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is where I'm going to go, beginning at verse 24, down to 27, just a short reading. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. You know, there's probably some benefit to receiving a gold medal in the Olympics. But God's got something way better than a sparkly medallion. So God's got something for you way more valuable than a piece of gold. Verse number 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I tell you, you might have been around the church since you were little and now you're old. Maybe you've been around God a long time. That doesn't mean that you can't fall away. We got to keep every one of us. Doesn't matter if this is the first week that you're in the house of God and this is brand new to you, or if you've been here a long time and you know all the ins and outs. We still have to be temperate and have self-control and add to our faith these things that the Bible is teaching us, showing us. Unless we would ourselves be a castaway. You know, there are guidelines given by the Bible, and following the guidelines that are given in the Bible is a key principle, if you will, in our living for God. The Bible really is our basic instructions before leaving earth. I've heard somebody say that before. Kind of looks Bible. It look, you know, it's our rule book. It really is. It gives us guidelines. Timothy, a student in the Word, received instruction, guidelines that are recorded here in the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me read verses 3 to 5. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, living for God is not always easy. In fact, just plain living is not always easy. There are troubles and hardships that come. But when you live for God through that hardship, as a good soldier in Jesus Christ, we are strengthened. That hardship makes us stronger when we're in Jesus Christ. I'm right-handed. I'm going to knock that water over. I caught myself almost hitting it twice. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? You know, getting yourself tangled up, I knew that when I wanted to live for God, I had to separate myself from the people that I was previously close to that were living in the world. Because if I hung out with them, It would draw me into places that I knew I shouldn't go. It would entice me to do things I knew I shouldn't do. So don't entangle yourself with the ungodly. And it doesn't have to be, it's not necessarily illegal, although some things are illegal. It's just ungodliness. So do get yourself tangled up with people who do live for God. Do get involved with things in the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. A key here, yes, we need to follow the guidelines of the Word. We need to. There is ruling the spirit. We each have our own spirit. The world wants to draw us into things. We need to get control over that. So temperance applies to the ruling of our own spirit. Proverbs chapter 16 talks about that. Verse number 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. You know, in the flesh, people are subject to getting and staying angry. They get mad over stupid stuff. Sometimes people get angry over, I couldn't even figure out why. But as a Christian, as a Christ-like person, we have to have temperance. We have to rule that portion of our spirit. Slow to anger. Proverbs chapter 25, just moving down a little bit, verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. If you can't rule your anger, if you can't rule your own spirit, there's no helping you. You are going to get in trouble. You are going to harm yourself and others. Like a city that has no defenses. We need temperance. Be able to rule your spirit in the Holy Ghost. Let God take care of that part of your spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your hands as we commanded you. Wow. Sometimes it's harder to say nothing. But you know what? It's a temperance taught us, showed to us, example to us in the Word of God. Study to be quiet. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 4 says, let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. You know, the world is just completely opposite. It's boisterous and loud and opinionated and demanding and not in the Holy Ghost. We got to have temperance. We got to have God to rule that portion of our spirit. So temperance helps us in God to rule our own spirit. And there is also in temperance, moderation. Gentleness. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Amen. If people know you before Jesus Christ, and then they still know you after you get Jesus Christ, they're going to know things are different. Amen. A primary way they're going to know is because of your moderation. You don't get angry easy. You don't get sad easy. You don't get loud easy. You know, there is moderation in the temperance that God wants to put in our life. Thank you, Jesus. And you know, and to get all that, to do all that, we in our flesh, we have to deal with anger. It's an emotion that everybody experiences. Everybody gets angry. And I know that when you are without Jesus Christ and you're not ruling your spirit and you don't have temperance guiding your life, you may well have a problem with anger. Don't let anger lead to sin. But we need to, you might get angry, but you need to resolve it. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 26, talks on this very subject. Be ye angry and sin not. Jesus got mad at the people in the temple, you know, when they were not doing the right thing in the temple, buying and selling, and they were, you know, he kicked over the money changers' tables and he made a whip and he drove the bad things out. And yet Jesus Christ was sinless. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. When we stay angry, you are letting the devil use that anger in you to separate you from others and from him. How can you be angry and still worship God? Wow, it's hard. Neither give place to the devil. Don't stay angry. Don't let the sun go down upon that wrath. Verses 26 and 27, 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Of course, that's pretty obvious, right? But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know, it's a whole lot nicer to be able to give than it is to receive. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let no corruption, no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, the Holy Ghost, the Bible, is teaching us how to get over anger. Don't hold on to it. It may your human emotion, your human nature, your carnal self may experience this emotion and you may have it, but that's not sin. It's sin when you choose to keep it. And it separates you from God. Don't hold on to it. And here's a warning. In fact, there's many warnings in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 14, beginning with verse 17. Proverbs 14, 17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. If you have a habit of being angry, people are going to know you as an angry person. Proverbs 21, beginning to read there at verse 19. Proverbs 21, 19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But the foolish man spendeth it up. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. A wise man scaleth the city of a mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Let me pause right there for a moment. Be careful what you say. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me is a lie. Words could hurt you a lot longer than that bruise that will heal up in a few days. Be careful what you say with your mouth. Verse 24, proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Wow. Be careful, my friend. Proverbs 22 and verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a frivolous man thou shalt not go. Furious. Excuse me. Be careful who you're hanging out with. Praise the Lord. Be not hasty, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Over and over and over and over again, it teaches us in Scripture, temperance. Don't stay angry. Amen. How about this one? Seems fitting to talk about during a time of fasting. Gluttony. Israel was guilty of that. In Israel, the time in the wilderness, God provided their every need. gave them honey-flavored wafers, manna, every morning. They went out and gathered it, and it was enough for their need for that day. Temperance. You know, at the beginning, people thought, well, there's a whole bunch. Let's just get a lot. And of course, that stuff that they gathered, that was more than they needed for one day. The second day, it stank. Rotted. Bred worms. Whoa, throw that out, right? But God was teaching them temperance. God provided clothes that didn't wear out, shoes that didn't wear out, food every day. God gave them the water. God gave them everything that they needed. And then they complained. I got it. They complained because they wanted meat. We want flesh to eat. Numbers chapter 11. Be careful what you ask for. Numbers 11, verse 32 to 34, it says, "And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails." Man, they had all the meat that they could eat. The birds just flew in from I don't know where, but there was a lot of them. More than they could consume. They gathered bunches of them all day, all night, the next day. They gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers. And they spread them all abroad for themselves around about the camp. And while the flesh was yet in their teeth, it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibrothattaava, I think. You try to pronounce that word. Because there they buried the people that lusted. You know, God does provide for us. But be temperate in it. Praise the Lord. There is a very valuable, important lesson to be learned and having moderation in what we're eating. A Daniel fast is fitting. It will exercise what we're talking about in scriptures. It will help you in your walk with God. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 20 and 21. "And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Now, this was the mom and the dad making the accusations against a rebellious, a stubborn, a gluttonous, and a drunken son. "And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. You know, they had really strict penalties for someone like that. I am not advocating we go kill people. That's not what we do. But we are still to have temperance. It's a biblical principle that applies to our lives today. And nobody can put it on you. You got to choose this for your own life, or your life won't have it. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 20 and 21. Proverbs 23:20, be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. We got to be careful. We got to have temperance. Proverbs 25, verse 16. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. I had a little honey on my oatmeal the other day, and it tasted good in there. But you wouldn't just tip the bottle up. It would make you sick. A little bit's good. Tastes good. Adds quality and flavor. But temperance is required. Not too much. Temptation. Temperance covers temptation. There will be and is temptation in the end time. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. If you're too busy to come to church, you're too busy. Make time for God in your life. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. If you're too busy to read the Word of God, you're too busy. Make time for the things of God to be in your life. And you know what? Your whole life will be better when you apply the temperance. Praise the Lord. Now, abstention is also part of temperance. Of course, we abstain from alcohol. There is New Testament warnings. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. Let me read that. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not, someone say not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, it's a New Testament warning to the church today, to you and me, to us, not to do those things. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But be filled with the Spirit. Praise the Lord. I like that New Testament portion that says, they're not drunk as ye suppose. You know what I like? Getting all full of the Holy Ghost. I enjoy a good worship service. I enjoy listening and being a part of the preaching of the word, and not just because I'm a preacher. Amen. I enjoyed preaching long before I ever preached a sermon. Amen. Do not use something that is defiling, unprofitable, intoxicating, addictive, or stumbling block. That's all a part of temperance. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is my next example, verse 17. If any man defile the temple of God, that's you. What you're putting in you. It's not talking about this building. It's talking about your flesh. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So we got to be careful. Because your body belongs to Jesus. Take care of it. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Just moving down a few pages from that. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning there at verse 9. I'm going to go 9 to 12. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. This part is true. And such were some of you. You know, I can celebrate. That's what I was. But I don't want to be that no more. And when you are in Jesus Christ, you don't ever have to go back to that again. Praise the Lord. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. That means baptized. But ye are sanctified, set aside. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God, the Holy Ghost. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I am above 21. I could go down to the liquor store and get whatever I want. It's legal. But I ain't going to do it. No way. The Holy Ghost prevents me from doing that. The Holy Ghost should be preventing you from doing that too. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6, jumping down, verse 19 and 20. Just a few more verses. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? I'm so glad the Bible is so very clear sometimes. There's no mistake in that verse, right? Your flesh, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You belong to Jesus. Act like it. Have temperance in your life. Amen. Let God help you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Temperance is also, it didn't start right here. It didn't start with us today. In fact, it didn't start with those New Testament converts either. It was way back in the Old Testament. They had to be temperate in the Old Testament. The Old Testament priests were not to drink wine when ministering. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9. Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the temple of the congregation, lest ye die. Man, they had some really stringent penalties. Death. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. The Old Testament warnings also provided warnings against alcohol. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 21, verse 17. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Proverbs 23, starting at verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. The picture comes to my mind of that person with a big round wine glass and they're swirling it, you know. And oh, that looks so pretty. Man, it's like a snake getting ready to bite you right in the mouth. Be careful with that thing. Back away. Because it's going to hurt you. Verse 32. At the last it biteth like a serpent, it stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. It'll make you do things you shouldn't have done. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth up the top of a mast. They have stricken me. Shalt thou say, and I was not sick, and have been, or they have bitten me, and I felt it not? When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Way back BC, before Christ, maybe you remember the day too, when they were drinking and partying and doing evil. Get up in the morning and look for another drink. It's the nature of the carnal sin of mankind that will draw you into it. Be careful. Where am I going? Negative examples. Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 11. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. Hosea chapter 4, verse 11. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. You're going to do things you didn't want to do. Habakkuk 2 verses 4 and 5. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Yea, also because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Jumping down verse 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and make him drunken also, that thou mayest look upon their nakedness. So many bad things happen when people are drinking. You didn't want it to happen. You didn't expect it to happen. But it's going to happen. I'm getting ready to wrap this up. I have just a little bit to go. In 5 minutes to do it, I think I'm going to make it. Other areas of substance that we need temperance in. Tobacco. Abstention is necessary because it is so addictive. Tobacco is defiling and destructive. I had mentioned it in a sermon just a little while ago. But when I was a young man, my summer between 11th and 12th grade, I had just started dating my honey, my wife, my girlfriend at the time. But well, no, we've been dating a few months by that time. I saw a person in a medical school that died of lung cancer. They laid him open, and you know, the lung, they could take it out and show you what it looked like. It was as black as the top of this desk, tar, and it had big holes in it, and it was horrible, terrible looking. Just looked like it was half gone. You know, it was half eat away. They had a healthy one there too. Compare it to the one that had lung cancer. I'm telling you, it's destructive. I probably spent half an hour in that room, and I'm going to remember it my whole life. I am never going to forget that lesson. Stay away from tobacco. It is destructive. Illegal drugs, we need to abstain. Stay away. it is necessary to stay away from illegal drugs. Well, and I should, yeah, there are legal drugs that we should stay away from. It's legal for you to buy them, but that don't mean it's okay. Even caffeine, if it's hurting you, if caffeine is hurting you, you drink so much coffee that you can't sleep at night, that it gives you the tremors, or heart palpitations. I don't know if I said that right. What somebody else said. Sorry for my bad English. If it's making your heart beat funny, it's too much. Temperance. I'm not against coffee. In fact, I'm a coffee drinker. But too much is not good. And especially if you're fasting, whoo, it'll get you. Be careful. Prescription drugs, they are helpful. They are needful sometimes. And I, at times, have had to take medications by prescription. And they have their purpose. But just because the doctor says you can take it, doesn't mean you should. Be careful. How about this? Cuttings and markings. I'm getting ready to wrap this up. Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 28. Cutting the flesh in various ways was an idolatrous practice, a part of idolatry worship. The Israelites were commanded to not to imitate this practice. Leviticus 19, verse 28, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. Get this now, nor print any marks upon you, I am the Lord. What's a tattoo? It's a whole bunch of needle, little tiny cuts with printing ink. The Bible tells us just don't do it. Temperance tells us to stay away from it. And I have Bible for it. Deuteronomy 14, verse 1. Ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. I've had somebody tell me, oh, I'm getting this tattoo for my mom. You mean to tell me if you don't get that tattoo, you're going to forget your mother? I don't think so. Don't do it. Don't do it. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 28. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. It was a part of idolatry worship. We shouldn't have any part of it. Don't do it. Would you stand with me? We need the temperance that God wants us to have in our lives. Would you pray right now that God would help you to have temperance? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Jesus, I... I desire, Lord, to have the temperance that the Holy Ghost would lead me and help me and guide me in. Help my life, Lord, to have temperance in it, Lord. Help me, God, to understand the word and to understand the principles and to put them in practice in my life. And help me, Lord, to serve you in temperance, God. Thank you, Lord, for it. Have your way in me and in us, Lord, in this house and this people, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be in you. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you for coming. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.